I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention.
I promise you, there are people out there who love you just as you are.
One of the leading human rights issues of our time is the treatment of LGBTQI people around the world.
If every homosexual said what he was tomorrow, the whole situation would be changed for the better.
There's a certain feeling among many younger people of not caring who knows. They have straight friends who know, and I hope this is sort of indicative of something.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. EU leaders slam Hungary's no-promo homo law, sportsmen come out and Imhoff plays dad, and the U.S. Secretary of State backs global queer rights. Those stories and more this week now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Melanie Keller.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending June 26, 2021. The heads of 17 European Union member states signed onto a letter this week demanding that Hungary immediately repeal its new no-promo homo bill. The measure passed last week bans all discussion of sexual orientation and gender fluidity in schools. It also prohibits such material from television programs that minors could see, which essentially means any positive discussion of queer people on TV, period. The bill was pushed by increasingly autocratic Prime Minister Viktor Orban. Luxembourg's out-Prime Minister Xavier Bettel joined letter signatories German Chancellor Angela Merkel, Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez, French President Emmanuel Macron, and the other 13 government leaders. They addressed the heads of major EU institutions just ahead of the bloc's two-day summit. It was reportedly an acrimonious gathering, with Orban playing defense against withering criticism from a number of EU officials. Luxembourg's Bettel remarked that, "We have a lot of young people who commit suicide because they don't accept themselves as they are. Being gay is not a choice, but being intolerant is a choice, and I will stay intolerant to intolerance, and this will be my fight today." Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte even suggested that Hungary should leave the EU if it doesn't agree with its core values. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen called the Hungarian law shameful. She said the EU's executive is considering legal action because it violates fundamental EU values. The only member of the 27-nation bloc to support Hungary as a defender of traditional Christian values was Poland, whose dictatorial president Andrzej Duda and Hungary's Orban appear to be in an unspoken race to the homophobic bottom.
Swimming near that bottom, Poland's education minister condemned this week's annual Warsaw LGBTQ Pride March as an insult to public morality. Przemysław Czarnek saw the colorful costumes and bedazzled drag queens and asked on a state-run news channel, "Are they normal people in your opinion?" Thousands of those not normal people marched through the capital on June 19th in defiant opposition to the rising tide of homophobia that has enveloped Poland under President Andrzej Duda. The Equality Parade kicked off at Warsaw's Palace of Culture to the beat of dance music amidst a sea of waving rainbow flags. COVID-19 scuttled Warsaw's in-person Pride events last year, so this year's parade was especially boisterous. In its early years, the parade was canceled twice by the mayor as an unacceptable promotion of homosexuality, but things do change. Current Warsaw Mayor Rafael Trzaskowski led this year's procession to the cheers of spectators in sidewalk cafes and on apartment balconies along the route. However, President Duda has the support of a majority of lawmakers and the influential Roman Catholic Church. Almost 100 local governments have condemned so-called LGBT ideology and declared themselves to be LGBT-free zones. And, as with Hungary, EU officials are increasingly critical of escalating homophobia in Poland.
Istanbul's governor has banned the 19th annual LGBTI+ Pride March for the 7th consecutive year, again in the name of public security and good order. That's the same crap this year, as organizers put it in a tweet. They added defiantly that on June 26th, queer people will find each other on the streets and celebrate our honor. That appears to be what's happening per their Twitter feed as we record this newscast. The Turkish capital's once vibrant Pride Parade drew tens of thousands from around the region in what was the largest such gathering in the Muslim world. Celebrations have been at best muted since increasingly dictatorial president and former prime minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan first took power in 2003.
Canada's House of Commons handily passed a bill this week that outlaws conversion therapy. The vote was 263-63. The measure bans discredited methods to turn queer people straight for all minors and coerced adults. It criminalizes anyone profiting from or advertising the debunked practice. The Senate's approval is expected. Liberal Party Prime Minister Justin Trudeau made the conversion therapy ban part of his campaign platform. Meanwhile, the government of Norway announced this week that it would be introducing a bill to ban the practice. The Local reports that when the draft has been finalized, it will be submitted for a period of public consultation before its expected passage by Parliament.
A gay widower in Hong Kong has won a second judicial verdict in the High Court. Henry Lee Yik Ho had been denied the right to stay in the government-subsidized home he shared with his late spouse. Justice Anderson Chow Ka Ming again rejected the housing authority's policy as oppressively unfair over the government's challenge to his original September ruling. Lee and Edgar Eng Han Lam legally wed in London in 2017. Eng committed suicide in December 2020. Housing officials refused to treat Lee the same as a heterosexual widow or widower to whom ownership of mutually shared property would be automatically transferred. The lawsuit demanding equal treatment of same-gender couples in the allocation of public housing was first filed in 2019. It also challenged laws that deny the inheritance of property and other proceeds to the surviving spouse of a legally wed same-gender couple. Justice Chow declared both policies unlawful and unconstitutional violations of the equality provisions in the city's mini-constitution, or basic law, and in the Hong Kong Bill of Rights. In related news, the Swiss government has officially announced its support for marriage equality in an upcoming referendum. Parliament passed the legislation, but opponents gathered enough signatures to force the issue to a public vote. Polling consistently suggests that the September referendum will overwhelmingly endorse Parliament's passage of marriage equality.
U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Dennis McDonough announced this week that the government would be offering gender confirmation surgery to transgender veterans through its health care coverage. Mental health services and hormone therapy are already available, but surgery has not been covered until now. National Center for Transgender Equality Executive Director Mara Kiesling applauded the move in a statement that read, "Every veteran deserves to have access to the health care they need, and the VA is working to make sure that includes transgender veterans as well." Meanwhile, Louisiana's Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards made good on his promise to the Republican-controlled state legislature, proclaiming that, "As I have said repeatedly, discrimination is not a Louisiana value." He emphatically vetoed a ban the trans in sports bill this week. There are enough votes in the legislature to override Edwards' veto, according to the Associated Press. However, the current session is over, and lawmakers would have to call a special session to take an override vote. That would be a first since the state constitution was adopted in 1974.
The first gay British banknote went into circulation this week. The Alan Turing 50-pound note features a portrait of the World War II code-breaking hero and father of computer science and artificial intelligence. Turing was infamously prosecuted for private, consensual, adult gay sex in the early 1950s. He chose a sentence of chemical castration over prison time and committed suicide a few years later. He has since been offered a posthumous government apology and was royally pardoned by Queen Elizabeth II.
But finally, even a Turing 50-pound note won't get you certain beers at New York's world-famous Stonewall Inn. Current co-owners Stacey Lentz and Kirk Kelly are supporting the Keep Your Pride campaign this Pride weekend. The action targets five companies that advertise their support during Pride but contribute to anti-queer lawmakers. The National Institute on Money and Politics revealed that beer maker Anheuser-Busch contributed more than $35,000 between 2015 and 2020 to 29 legislators described as anti-LGBTQ. Most of those recipients are anti-trans bill pushers. A company response defends its clear role to play in bringing real change and creating an inclusive and equitable world where we cherish and celebrate one another. In Stonewall Inn co-owner Lentz's words, "You can't turn your logo rainbow on social media, call yourself an ally, and then turn around and make donations that fuel hate." Queer favorites of the St. Louis-based beverage conglomerate include Budweiser and Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, and Stella Artois. Lentz said, "As a business owner, it's never easy to stop selling a product that affects your bottom line, especially during the busiest weekend of the year. But I'm an activist above all else, and we at the Stonewall Inn know we bear a unique responsibility to call out hypocrisy when we see it. Anheuser-Busch and other companies must do better."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending June 26th, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can read the transcript and listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Melanie Keller. Stay healthy.
And I'm John Dyer V. Stay safe.
Here's a late-breaking update from Istanbul. Activists made good on their promise to take their pride to the streets despite a government ban on their parade. Playing cat and mouse with riot police in small groups on side streets in the shopping district, 200 to 300 demonstrators chanted and clogged intersections. Rainbow flags were unfurled from windows overhead. The crowds were ultimately dispersed with rubber bullets and tear gas. Many people were beaten and 20 were arrested, including an Agence France-Presse photojournalist.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out.
Come on, everybody, listen to your soul. Come on, everybody, let the good times roll.
Queer National Football League fans and allies are cheering a winning move for LGBTQ rights by Las Vegas Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib this week. Nassib opened his closet door in a video message on Instagram, making him the first active NFL player to do so.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that like one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, you know, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate. And I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America. And they're truly doing incredible things. And I'm very excited to be a part of it, to help in any way that I can. And I'm really pumped to see what the future holds. That's all I have for you guys. I hope you have a great day. Work hard.
Teammates, league officials, and queer activists expressed their support for Nassib, none more than Amit Paley, CEO and executive director of the Trevor Project, the queer teen suicide group Nassib gifted. Paley spoke to ABC News about the importance of Nassib's actions and his contribution.
This has a huge impact on LGBTQ young people. Representation really does matter, and we know that there is still enormous discrimination in society against LGBTQ people, and we know that LGBTQ people in sports or who want to participate in sports face that or are afraid that they will face that. And so today, a lot of LGBTQ young people are going to see this announcement and are going to be able to dream a little differently and to see possibilities for what success can look like.
In 2014, Michael Sam was the first NFL draftee to come out, but mental health issues led to his retirement a year later. Jim Buzinski of Outsports predicted in a CBS News interview that Nassib's coming out means a more hopeful future for LGBTQ athletes.
I know there are other gay players in the league, and I hope more come out. More kids will play football now who identify as LGBTQ because of him, and that's a big plus.
This week also saw the Washington Spirit's Kumi Yokoyama come out as a trans man. The soccer forward is now Japan's highest-profile queer athlete and says they could not have come out back home. U.S. President Joe Biden posted a tweet thanking both Nassib and Yokoyama for their courage and also stressed the impact they would have on young people. Nassib's announcement has also had an impact on fashion. His jersey is now the NFL's top seller.
Hey, friend, when you feel like you're alone and the world throws out a lot of hate,
it's not the end. You're not out there on your own. There's still so much in life to celebrate.
It gets better, better, better. The pain will let up, let up, let up.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris held a roundtable discussion with LGBTQ activists on June 23rd and promised that it would not be just a Pride Month conversation for the White House. Harris spoke briefly before the closed-door listening session, repeating the president's vow to push the Senate for passage of the Equality Act. Meanwhile, Harris's hubby and her boss were acknowledging the season with video messages for the It Gets Better Project's 2021 Digital Pride experience. Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff offered kindly words like a surrogate parent.
Today, I have a message for every young person out there going through tough times. Every young person being bullied, especially those of you in the LGBTQ plus community, I want you to know you are not alone. There's so many people out there, people like me, who care about you. If they just knew what was happening in your life, the kind of people who would put an arm around you and stick by your side. When times are tough and the whole world feels like it's closing in, the best thing you can do for yourself is just reach out to someone. Being strong, being brave, is knowing when to ask for support. Find a teacher, a friend, a coworker, a parent, a neighbor. I promise you, there are people out there who love you just as you are. People who recognize that the qualities that make you unique and special are the characteristics that make our whole society beautiful and diverse. So, be confident in who you are. Embrace your differences, but don't ever feel like you're in this by yourself, because you're not. Remember, it will get better.
That was Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff speaking to the It Gets Better Project's 2021 Digital Pride experience.
It gets better, better, better. The pain will let up, let up, let up. You can all just get up, get up, get up. Oh, cause there's another way. It gets better, better, better. The world gets lighter, lighter, lighter. So be a fighter, fighter, fighter.
Are you signed up for our new e-newsletter, Inside This Way Out?
We send them out every few weeks, briefly reviewing recent and previewing upcoming programming and deepening the conversation about your favorite international LGBTQ radio show.
All you have to do is email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And be assured that we don't share or sell your email address or anything about you to anyone else, and we never will.
This is the New Symposium, a program from and for the homosexual community.
Still to come, pre-Stonewall activists foresee the gathering storm. But first,
all around the world, you gotta spread the word. Tell them what you heard. We're gonna make a better day. And all around.
One of the people in the room where it happened, when U.S. President Joe Biden met Russian President Vladimir Putin, was U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken. Blinken has expanded on Biden's post-summit statements, verifying that LGBTQ rights were specifically discussed. In his Pride Month message, Blinken put queer liberation in the context of global U.S. policy.
One of the leading human rights issues of our time is the treatment of LGBTQI people around the world. You know this better than I do. In many countries, they face violence, harassment, stigma, rejection. They aren't protected equally by laws. In fact, they're often targeted and scapegoated by those who make and enforce the laws. They're denied equal access to healthcare, housing, employment, justice. And for some, simply living openly as their true selves can be incredibly dangerous. And I'm not just talking about far off places. Here at home, LGBTQI people have had to fight tooth and nail for every inch of progress. And there's still painful setbacks. There's still hate and violence. There's still too much bias across our society, in workplaces, in schools, in churches, households, and in our government. This matters to me as a person and as an American. It also matters to me as Secretary of State. One of our country's greatest strengths is our identity as a place where freedom, justice, opportunity are available to everyone. When that rings true, when we make progress toward those ideals, the world notices. When we fall short, well, the world notices that too. Our ability to stand up for human rights and democracy in other places depends on whether we're strong on those fronts here at home. And by standing up for human rights worldwide, we're not only delivering for people in other countries, we're also delivering for the American people. Because human rights and democracy are intrinsically linked with stability, broad-based prosperity, peace, and progress. And that's all in our interests. But most important, defending and advancing human rights, including the human rights of LGBTQI people, is simply the right thing to do. And at our best, the United States does the right thing. That's why a few days after taking office, President Biden signed a memorandum instructing all U.S. agencies engaged in diplomacy and development to promote and protect the human rights of LGBTQI people around the world. Specifically, it named combating the criminalization of LGBTQI status or conduct, protecting vulnerable LGBTQI refugees and asylum seekers, ensuring that our foreign assistance protects human rights and advances non-discrimination, responding swiftly and meaningfully to human rights abuses, and building coalitions of international organizations and like-minded nations, that is, using our convening power to advance global support for the human rights of LGBTQI people. So here at the State Department, we're now putting those provisions into action across our bureaus, across the department, on everything from our refugee programs to our global COVID-19 response to our multilateral engagement. For example, this week, we're sponsoring our first ever side event in the United Nations on the rights of transgender and gender diverse people worldwide. Because again, this is a core human rights issue. And we believe the United States belongs at the forefront of the fight, speaking out, standing up for our values. We still have a great deal of work to do before the human rights of all people everywhere are respected. That's a mission we're proud to undertake.
That was U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres, and you're listening to This Way Out. That was without cue cards, people.
In the late 1960s, drama and literature director Baird Searles of Pacifica radio station WBAI in New York went out on a broadcast limb. Along with Kermit Lamb and other pre-Stonewall activists, Searles hosted a weekly program to discuss homosexual life and politics. This excerpt from a January 1969 show paints a striking and prophetic picture of the rumblings that boiled over into a rebellion just 5 months later.
This is the New Symposium, a program from and for the homosexual community. I'm Baird Searles, and also on hand,
Kermit Lamb. I have felt, and I think I've changed even my thinking on this in the last 3 or 4 years, is that homosexuals aren't proud enough to be homosexuals and get out and you know, be militant a little bit and say I am, and a little like I'm glad to see now in the racial thing that Negroes now aren't just trying to get along like everybody else. They've seen beauty in their own blackness.
Yeah.
Black is beautiful.
It bears on what you're saying about being proud of homosexual, which I think even at now is a little much to ask of most people, but just being open about it. Since doing this program, and kind of because of doing this program and trying to find people to do this program back at the beginning, it has come so sharply to my attention the total lack of courage that the homosexual community has. And I know the reasons, damn it, and I've been through it myself. I think that is one thing you can really pin on all of you out there is cowardice. I know I'm going to get letters saying, okay, it's easy for you. You're not going to get fired from the station. But it hasn't been that easy. The feeling that I've totally lost contact with my father because of this program. Mm. And I know that people's lives can be ruined if they open up and reveal themselves. On an idealistic plane, we all know that if every homosexual said what he was tomorrow, that the whole situation would be changed for the better. Now, this is obviously a pipe dream. But for every homosexual that does open up and reveal himself, there are that many more people that realize that homosexuals are real, breathing human beings. They are not sex maniacs or freaks. That many more young people that are given the fact that a homosexual life needn't be a disaster.
I know a number of people who are under 25, say, under 20. They all seem to be much more relaxed. I hope it's a sign.
I don't know. So do I.
There's a certain feeling among many younger people of not caring who knows. They have straight friends who know, and I hope this is sort of indicative of something.
The disorders began with a routine police raid on a homosexual bar, the Stonewall, on Christopher Street.
And that was just the beginning. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from John Dyer V and Melanie Keller, produced by Brian DeShazer. You heard music from Zrazy, Broadway Sings for the Trevor Project, Oasis, and The Earls. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Trentum, and donors John Beaupre and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WRIR Richmond, Virginia, KYIQ Newport, Lincoln County, Oregon, CKDU Halifax, Nova Scotia, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.